guarding the warship's point of origin? The specialist shook his head. Negative, sir. The memory modules of the droids don't log jump information. All right, Tarkin said after a moment. Continue with the analysis. I want every weld and rivet investigated. We're on top of it, sir. The tech pulled the hood back over his head, slipped his hands into the long gloves, and disappeared through the lock. Tarkin watched him enter the hangar, then resumed pacing, replaying the attack in his mind. Harassment of Imperial installations by pirates and malcontents was nothing new, but in almost all cases the assaults had been hit-and-run sorties, and none had taken place so close to heavily defended Geonosis. The counterfeit real-time holotransmission had been designed to draw ships from Sentinel to Rampart Station in the hope of leaving the former vulnerable. But the attack was clearly calculated to be suicidal from its inception. Even if he had dispatched the Electrum to the marshalling station, even if he had been taken in by the distress call and dispatched half his flotilla, the energy shields and laser cannons that protected Sentinel would have been sufficient to ward off any strikes, let alone from droids. The warship seen in the holovid the attackers had transmitted through the local holonet relay had shown up at Sentinel. But where were the modified starfighters, which had to have been flown by living pilots? Despite being crewed by sentience, the mysterious cruiser hadn't discharged any of its point defense or ranged weapons. If destruction of the base was the goal, why hadn't whoever was behind the attack used the ship as a bomb by reverting from hyperspace in closer proximity to the moon? Planetary bodies larger than Sentinel had been shaken to their core by such events. Equally worrisome was the question of how the counterfeiters had known about Lieutenant Tharn, whose recent posting to Rampart should have been top secret. The creators of the false holovid had been able to improvise by transmitting a real-time hologram of the young officer in response to Tarkin's order that he show himself. Was Tharn involved in the conspiracy? Or had the attackers merely doctored existing footage of him? Lifted, perhaps, from the public holonet or some other source? As troubling as it was to accept that the locations of Sentinel and Rampart bases had been compromised, he still couldn't make sense of the attack itself. What would pirates or privateers stand to gain by launching an ill-fated drone attack? What, for that matter, would political dissidents stand to gain? Was it a case of vengeance? One group fit the bill. The droid Gotra. A lethal band of repurposed battle droids with what some considered legitimate grievances against the Empire for having been abandoned after their service during the Clone Wars. But recent intelligence reports stated that the droid Gotra was still confined to an industrial complex in the bowels of Coruscant, serving as muscle for the Crimora crime syndicate in robberies, protection, kidnapping, illegal salvage, and extortion. It was possible that the Gotra was branching out. It was even possible that the group had learned about Sentinel Base, but it was unlikely that the droids would make use of obsolete weapons to send a message to the Empire. Tarkin shook his head in aggravation. In part, the deep space mobile battle station was meant to put an end to harassments of any sort, whether driven by greed, political dissent, or revenge for acts committed during the Clone Wars or since. Once everyone in the galaxy grasped the weapon's capabilities, once the fear of Imperial reprisal took hold, discontent would cease to be a problem. But just now, and notwithstanding the covert nature of the Geonosis project, the Imperial Security Bureau and Naval Intelligence were continually trying to quash rumors and prevent information leaks. In the 3 years Tarkin had been commanding Sentinel and hundreds of nearby supply and sentry outposts, as well as administering a vast slice of the Outer Rim, no group had been successful in penetrating Geonosis space. The chance that that could change shook him to the core. If establishing the identity of Sentinel's enemies was already proving daunting, getting to the truth of the battle station's origin was nearly impossible. Everyone, from celebrated ship designers to gifted engineers, wanted to take credit for the superweapon. Tarkin himself had discussed the need for such a weapon with the Emperor long before the end of the Clone Wars. But no one outside the Emperor knew the full history of the Moonlit-sized project. Some claimed that it had begun as a separatist weapon designed by Geonosian Archduke Poggle the Lesser's hive colony for Count Dooku and the Confederacy of Independent Systems. But if that was the case, the plans had to have somehow fallen into Republic hands before the Clone Wars ended, because the weapon's spherical shell and laser-focusing dish were already in the works by the time Tarkin first set eyes on it, following his promotion to the rank of Moff, escorted to Geonosis in utmost secrecy by the Emperor himself. All the same, he had no compelling reason to solve the enigma of the battle station's beginnings. What bothered him was that, compliant with a strategy that no base commander, Moff, Admiral, or General, should have unrestricted access to information regarding shipments, scheduling, or construction progress, no single person was in charge of the project, unless, of course, the Emperor was considered to be that person. But the Emperor's visits had been few and far between, and it was anyone's guess just how much information was getting past the Imperial Ruling Council the Moffs and others answered to, and actually reaching the Emperor's ear. Certainly he was being